They're back. The show with the pressure and Frosty.
This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for.
Hello and welcome to the show with the pressure and Frosty. It is April. On time of record, we are at the 3rd of April and it is a glorious day here in Tilehurst. The skies are blue. The sun is shining. It's warm. Daffodils are well out of the ground, and it's just lovely right now. What's it like in wherever you are?
It's very, very sunny as well. It's pretty crisp today. It's pretty chilly. You need a few layers. If you turn the wrong corner and you get in the shade, you know about it. But it's definitely making the mood seem a lot brighter.
Yeah, yeah. Get out of that shade, get in the sunshine, and it's just glorious. It's almost like beer garden weather. I can sort of feel it. It's so close that I might just do it a bit earlier just because I've missed it so much. It's just so nice to be out in the sunshine.
Well, our garden is south facing, so it's a bit of a sun trap. All it needs is a beer, and I've got it now in my garden.
Glorious. And you've got your bird feeders out there as well. You seen any
put
action?
Put the bird feeder on the washing line so that the squirrels can't get to it as easy. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, there was a fox in the garden the other day looking for the birds who were looking for the feeder. So it's sort of creating its own ecosystem, which is what I was after. It's Attenborough in action.
Attenborough in action.
Have you seen the new series yet?
I've seen clips of it. I just can't watch those shows because you see these splendid creatures and then he says,
and because of climate change, everything's dying.
And it just makes me really depressed. So I can't watch the shows. I just take off the climate change stuff and let me enjoy the animals without feeling crap about it. Just
enjoy the animals that you're then going to go and eat.
Yeah, I love sparrow. Sparrow and eggs on a Saturday morning. Ooh, lovely. I just think, yes, of course, climate change. It's a catastrophe is happening right now. But let me just enjoy it, man. Come on, David. Come on, Davey Attenborough.
It's not as there used to be some in the past where there'd be like 10 minutes worth of hard hitting, but it's not like that now. It's just there's just facts dropped into them all, like, oh, 80% of all of this used to be such and such. That's just, but that's part of the whole thing, the whole way through, just saying, oh, hello. Just how Britain used to be greener and now it's not as green. It looks pretty green from the pictures, but it's not the right not the right type of green for Attenborough. He needs it greener.
He likes it green. The human eye sees green, different shades of green, more than any other colour in the spectrum. Do you know why that is?
Why is that then?
Because when we were apes, we were living in jungles and green was what we saw the most. And so we needed to differentiate between the different shades of green to know predator and prey. So the human eye is more attuned to different shades of grey than green than any other colour. So David Attenborough, he knows his green.
Very interesting.
Yes, okay. Yes. And I think humanity in general, you know, the brain has evolved so quickly, but the body hasn't. So you get all these, a bit like veganism, you know, the brain is saying, hang on, it's not logical to eat meat, it's not logical to do all these sorts of things, but my body needs it.
See, I've advanced.
Oh, yeah?
I've moved to the next level. You're still in this caveman behavior. Your knuckles scraping on the floor, like trying to eat everything with a club.
Yes.
And I even use chopsticks, which I know is just beyond your spectrum. But
that's showing off, chopsticks. Anybody who uses chopsticks, like who I know of my mates that use chopsticks over a knife and fork, you're just showing off. Come on. Just sit down and eat your food. Stop making a show of yourself. Ooh, chopsticks.
But what if it's a noodle-based broth and you've got a load of soup and you've got noodles? You can't use a knife and fork.
Well, you can't use the chopsticks in that case if it's soup. You can't eat soup with chopsticks.
I can't wait to take you out next time. It's going to be funny.
Do you know what? I've just come up with a genius idea. How about, right, you got chopsticks, but then you drill a hole all the way through the chopsticks, so it becomes a straw, and you can suck the broth, and then you use the chopsticks. That's a good idea, though. That's a good idea.
Back the campaign, get a free sign.
What would we call them? Chop straws. Chop straws, is just right in itself. Come on.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, well, if the straw was that you get metal straws these days, which could easily be used as chopsticks. Yes. They're strong enough, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have metal straws in your home?
No. Why are they meant to be better? Because you can wash them. How do you wash them? How do you wash right in the middle if it's got some cold, dried Nesquik when you've left it in the sink all Easter holidays, which is 2 weeks in your school?
They come with a little brush. Yeah, we've got them. They're fun to have. You know, if you're making yourself a little cocktail at home, have a little straw. It does feel a bit fun having a metal straw as well. Like the paper straws, they're not great, but I'd rather...
They're garbage. They sort of mulch away. If you get a milkshake at McDonald's, you get a bit of slurp for a while, and then the straw just starts to go. And it's just that, and then even if you can't flip it over because it's all just mush at one end, and that's it. You're finished. How else do you eat drink a milkshake?
I know.
You got to ask for a knife and fork. A spoon. Please, sir, can I have a spoon for my milkshake?
You've got a bloody straw there.
It's gone all soggy.
Yeah, I don't know. You just got to use metal straws now, I suppose. But I prefer that than using a plastic straw, because plastic straws are like, it's terrible. It's so bad.
Okay, is it? Yeah, so eating meat isn't terrible and bad, but a plastic straw is.
If I can avoid a plastic straw, I'll definitely avoid it.
You could avoid eating meat.
I do.
You could have a fake meat thing.
I do. I do it for 5 days.
Why don't you try 6?
No. Well, why not try 4? I'm a flexitarian, and I stand by that. I'm a proud flexitarian.
The plastic straws really bug you.
Yeah.
Fake plastic straws in my shake.
Yeah, I don't like fake plastic straws. They're disgusting. No, the reason why I don't like them is because they go through me. When you bite them, they've got a little tacky... And you bite them and they squeak a little bit. That goes through me.
Well, why are you biting your straw for? What are you doing in the kitchen that you're using...
I don't know.
Biting on your chopsticks and you're using...
I don't know. But I just think if you can avoid it, get rid of the straws. Get rid of them. I'm willing to be a martyr for that. That's how good a person I am. I'll be the martyr. Good old Frosty, saving the world one straw at a time.
Hi, it's me, Lucy D, and you're listening to The Show with The Pressure and Frosty.
Me and Stacey went out to a pub to have a spot of lunch and a little pint. It was quite nice.
You had your dinner out today, did you? What did you have for lunch then on this celebration day?
Well, because it's a celebration day, we had a Ploughman's in a pub. And I don't know what your opinion's on a Ploughman's. I particularly like them because to me, it sort of says the character of the pub. There's no set sort of menu for a Ploughman's. You can have lots of different things. And it allows you to understand the pub's sensibility based on what they choose on their Ploughman's. What do you like a Ploughman's?
Well, isn't it cheese and meat?
Yeah.
Yeah. But even before the war, yeah. Nah, I never didn't. I thought Ploughman's was a type of cheese, isn't it?
No.
Or is it a type of, what is it, a sort of? I thought it was a thing. I thought Ploughman's was like a, I thought it was its own thing. And so when I saw it on the menu, I don't think I'd ever order it. I thought Ploughman's was a make of cheese, but I might be wrong there. But what is it then? What is a Ploughman's? You had one today.
Yeah.
What was on it in your local inn?
Generally in a Ploughman's, you have to have like cheddar cheese, hams, pickled onions, bread, salted
and
butter.
And it's on a board that you sort of... So you sort of build your own sandwich.
Exactly. It's like a buffet. It's like an English buffet, you know.
Did you share... You probably had one each, didn't
no.
you?
No. Yeah, we did. We had a big sharing platter. And
okay, a Ploughman's for two.
Yeah, Ploughman's for two. And we had Scotch eggs on there. And there's some crackling. It was pretty good. It was okay, but... we had one in Edinburgh about 10 years ago, and it just blew our minds. Like, it was so good that every other one is a little bit disappointing, even though it's a bit of a treat. So, so we're going to go to Waitrose on Easter weekend, which is next weekend, and build our own Ploughman's, but not for vegans.
No, it's not as... although I had some mini pickled eggs in my... pickled onions in my lunch today, so that was my Ploughman's.
you just had the pickle?
Just a pickled onion, although I did walk past the chip shop and thought, hey, I haven't been in there for ages, I want a bit of that, I do.
Yeah, I think you could do a vegan Ploughman's, Because you could have the pickled eggs. Not pickled eggs. Pickled onions, right?
Pickled onions. There's loads of cheese. There's loads of cheese. Bread. Easy.
Those scotch egg things. The corny scotch egg bites.
They're not actually... When you look at them, they're not actually... They just say veggie. Yeah, they tricked me. They've got egg in them. I've been eating them for years, and then I actually read,
oh, it's just vegetarian. No wonder it tastes so bloody good.
I picked up a sandwich from Marx's the other day, and it said... It had like... I thought it said meat-free, something, chicken and something. I was like, sweet, all right, I'll have this. This is brilliant. I was eating it, and it was so good. It was like chicken-y. There was some sort of like sour cream cheese in it. I was like, it was amazing. And then I read it, and it said gluten-free. So it wasn't meat-free at all. It had chicken, it had cheese, but it just didn't have no gluten. Which is, but like, why would they not do a vegan one that was gluten-free as well? Because surely the people that... but it's never as nice anyway. So just doesn't matter, because some people just need to eat. Yeah. It doesn't need to be nice. You just want to eat.
Yeah.
And the gluten-free ones are probably... they're fussier, again, than vegans.
Yeah, yeah.
So just mix it all together and surely you've got the ultimate sandwich for the ultimate whinge bag. But in fact, it was really bloody nice though. If you're near an M&S anytime soon, the gluten-free chicken and some sort of cheese wrap thing, bloody good.
It sounds
really
good.
Lovely.
I would avoid anything that says gluten-free because it just like... flavor-free, isn't it? You know, just go for wherever.
Do you think flavor or texture?
Yeah, texture.
I think when you bite into those sort of things, it just doesn't have much give back.
Yes.
And it's sort of a bit airy.
Yeah.
And you think you can, if you have gluten-free pasta, you know what you're looking for, whether it's just regular or wholemeal, you know what's pasta's going to give you back. If it's gluten-free, you're sort of chewing and it's just fading away.
I don't know. Do you think you're a martyr for veganism, because obviously you like meat and you like, you know, dairy. What are you doing it for, man?
Yeah, I just like the suffering.
I know you like it. 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 I know you like it.
I was carb loading on Saturday, so I bought a massive strudel.
Why were you carb loading? Here we go.
Because I ran the Reading Half Marathon yesterday. We recorded, the Reading Half Marathon.
How did you get on?
Very well, very well. My record.
It's an easy one, isn't it, Reading?
No, it's not an easy one. It's not far from it. There's three nasty hills in there. I've done a few half marathons, and I'd have to say the Reading Half Marathon is the toughest one. I would say that of all the ones I've done.
Because it's closest to your house, and you could think about sitting on your patio the whole time.
Exactly, yeah. No, there's some really bad hills in there. It's a lovely run, though. For the first time this year, there's just three quarters in, there's a pub that offers drinks to runners.
So what did you have?
I had this ale.
I'll have a Desperado, please. You had a pint?
No, it was like...
Oh, you were running?
Like an eighth of a pint. They give water out and stuff. They've got like a beer station. And I had a beer instead, and it was great.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
You rock star.
Every Reading Half Marathon, I run past it going, no way, that's just crazy. And this time I just thought, you know what? I'm gonna give it a go. And when I did it, everyone cheered and honked their horns. Yeah! In the pub. It was fun.
Yeah, that's the biggest cheer you've had for a while, eh?
Yeah, and then, you know, you chuck it on your head and then you just think of beer for the for the rest of the run. But it was good, though. It's my PB was 1:55. I did it in 1:53, 2 minutes faster.
No way.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Very good. Yeah, I didn't even think I was that fit. I didn't think I'd, you know, was back to fighting fitness, but I am. It's on the mind, isn't it? You know, in my mind, I thought I wasn't very fit. But clearly here I am, so...
Hackney Half Marathon coming up in a few weeks' time, eh?
That's right. Is that guaranteed now, the Hackney Half?
I'll give him an email, see what we can arrange.
So the pressure with his connections, he's managed to find a press pass for the Hackney Half Marathon, which is coming out in May or June, I think, and which will allow me... and the pressure to run the half marathon together, isn't that right?
I think it's just for one person, so...
You sure?
Yep, positive.
I'm sure you could wrangle one more ticket, me and you together, that'd be fun.
I don't think I could run more than about 2 miles, really.
Just run slower. That's the key. If you're tired after 2 miles, you're running too fast.
Well, if it took you 2 hours to run it at a fast pace, it would take me about 4 or 5 hours.
Why is that? Is it because I'm fitter or something?
I don't run ever, so I'd have to go very slow.
Would you come to it?
Do we have to sponsor you or anything?
No!
Or are you just actually going to do it for the sake of you rather than...
Yeah! This is another goat-getting sort of thing, you know? Yeah.
Okay.
Whenever you do like a running thing, it's always about charity focus. What charity are you running for? I remember when I did the Reading Half a few years ago and I went to Aldi with my medal on, and then the lady at the till said, "Oh, brilliant, did you run the Reading Half?" "Yes, yes." And she said, "Oh, who did you run for?" "No one. I ran for myself." And she went, "Oh, okay." As if, like, I had to run for a charity in order to be worthwhile. I did a poem about that, actually, called Charity. And it's on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Frosty, if you want to have a look at it.
If you want to have a look at that, and if you're really, 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 really bored, I just did a new video about an exhibition that opened at the Royal Academy. Souls Grow Deep Like the Rivers. And it's out now on my YouTube, so look at my Twitter, and you can see that video if you want. 5 minutes. You don't even have to go to the gallery, so you can just watch a 5-minute video.
And what is your channel called, so the listeners can find it?
It's just Hoxton Radio, and I've probably retweeted it, but yeah, Souls Grow Deep Like the Rivers, running till about mid-June, so you've got a couple of months to go and see that, if you so desire, listener.
Yeah, it was good. It was a really good video. I liked it. It was like you let the person do the talking.
It's the first one I've done in a while. It's nice to get out of things sometimes so that when you come back, you do it a bit differently.
Yeah.
And I'd edited it last weekend and I was meant to be DJing and I showed up. Someone else was here. And it was like, "Oh, what should we do?" I was like, "You do it, mate.
Yeah.
You do it. And I'll email them tomorrow to say, oh, you've double booked us."
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, "Oh, what should I do? Oh, I'll just go home and dork around." I thought, well, why don't you just use the time and do some other work? So I edited that video, did some other stuff, and just actually worked. That's probably the first time in my life when time's been given back to me.
Yeah.
But I've used it for positive means.
That's very good. That's going back to back in January when you were saying you wanted to do the videos, you wanted to do all of those things. And then you felt like you were stumbling and stalling in March and February. You've got it back now. Dave's got his groove back.
It's like Phil Collins is against the odds. Because, you know, I haven't even got a camera at the moment. So I'm just filming it on my iPhone again and editing it. I know, yeah, it's just like I've gone back in time. But I'm battling through it. I'm just bluffing my way through it. And hopefully we'll get there sometime. Although I did buy a really cheap computer. And the battery life's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's got a really crisp screen and it looks nice. It's just so sensitive to touch the keyboard and all the keys are really close. And by accident, you just highlight things and then it jumps ahead and it won't log into the proper Dropbox. And someone did say to me, "Don't buy cheap crap. You'll hate it. It'll just be rubbish."
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Why will it not be good? Well, when you get it. I can browse the internet on this computer. It's fine. It's got about 4 different browsers. So that's like great. I'm incognito all over the place. But when you actually try and do something like an email and copy and paste, it can't even grasp that.
Yeah. You buy cheap, you buy twice. You know, you think you're saving money, but, you know, time is money. And the amount of time that's wasted on cheap crap, it's worth putting the extra pounds in. Come on now.
Well, a lot of businesses go for Kickstarters and crowdfunders. Are you familiar with this?
Very much so, yes, indeed.
Okay, I know everything I do. I've been around the block for years.
It's been going for 10 years, isn't it, at least, Kickstarter?
Ah, ages, yeah. I guess rather than going to a bank and raising finance, they put an appeal up on a public site like Kickstarter or Crowdfunder and just ask for a load of money. And if you've got fans or followers or people that are interested in your thing, you offer them rewards like maybe they get their own sign or maybe they get a brick on the wall or maybe they get some of your product when you make your chili jam in your factory. You give them a personalized one. And I guess if you get a big old chunk of dosh, a lot of that usually goes on something. Maybe it goes on the jam presser or something special so that when you start your business, you can do it kind of well. And those sunk costs that you'd have to lay out for at the start and get a government loan, people just give you the money for it.
It's a good way of working around it. And it depends what you're selling. If you're selling a solid product, like an invention or a gadget, then you get a discount on the final product. Or if you're selling something such as intellectual property, such as a film, then you can get producer credits, you can get posters, you can get the original script. I know this because the film that's coming out called Are We Doing This, starring yours truly, was on a Kickstarter campaign, and it did reach its target, and that meant that it could afford to send the film to Sundance Film Festival, Raindance Film Festivals, get proper colour grading, get the proper sound, and that's coming out in the next month or so, and, you know, that's all from Kickstarter, so it does work.
So it works, and it's giving you as an actor a job and someone to give you some makeup and your cast and the sound person, that could be me,
yeah.
And the lighting and the director and the script and the grips and the blah, blah, blah. It's giving loads of creatives opportunities, which is a great thing. I think that's good. What about like a local business that just suddenly went out of business and now it's done a Kickstarter to go back into business again? Is that, and it's just a shop.
Yeah.
It's a shop, and for some reason they closed and now they're doing a Kickstarter to be back on the go again. Does that confuse you a bit? Or how do you think their business is being run?
Their main outgoing is going to be rent, and that is to do with the bank, and that is to do with their credit rating. So if you're going back and forth, I don't think that's going to look very good. Unless you're working from home and you've got your own office, then it wouldn't be so much of an issue, but it all depends. Is this something that is something that's close to your heart?
Kickstarters sometimes get my go, all right? They sometimes get my go because people set out to do business all the time, and I don't know if they're always as sort of... There's a campaign at the moment to turn an area of, like, disused sort of warehouse, brownfield site,
yeah,
into, like, a nature reserve and a wetlands.
That sounds
and
good.
Public gardens. Yeah, so something like that that benefits the whole community I'm into. But some schemes that I see... I don't know if I'm as up for. I know that getting a loan and stuff puts a massive strain on any business,
yeah,
but if you're not running it correctly anyway and you need a load of dosh to get it off the ground, is it? I don't know. I'm not always... I'm sometimes a bit dubious.
You need a business plan to back it up, basically. So
yeah, I guess people that are putting their Kickstarter stuff out there have got that idea. Just seems like it's corner cutting a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, I can see that. It is corner cutting. I suppose that's the internet, isn't it? You know, you get the best and the both. You get the freedom of the internet, which you can get whatever you want, but also you don't have the limitations or the gatekeepers to say this is right and this is wrong. So everyone can talk and everyone can also not give you good advice.
Yeah, okay. Maybe I'll start one. You can back it.
I'll back you up, mate.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'll give you your own sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love that. I get a sign. And then, so if I give you 50 quid, I get a sign. What are you going to do with that 50 quid?
Put it in towards something, a new area.
More signs.
It was only, yeah, it was 36 quid. So yeah, pour out about five of packaging, 40 quid. So that's 10 a spare. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, did you get your sign back from that time we were out a couple of weeks ago?
Just bought another one. No, just bought another
okay.
one.
Okay.
So.
Well, me and Dave were out in St. Patrick's Day. We had a bit of a day of it. March 18th, it was a Super Saturday for the Six Nations. All six teams were playing, culminating in the final game, Ireland v. England, depending on who's going to win the Grand Slam. And the Pressure and Frosty were there to host the day. It was kind of tense at times, but I think we got away with it in the end.
Yeah, it was just performing in front of people in a sort of makeshift space with a few little tech misdemeanors there just to throw you off and not really knowing what we should be providing
yeah.
by way of a service.
Yeah,
was a bit confusing. And then I turned to drink. It was my first drink of the year. I enjoyed it a lot. It was a special...
That was nice.
Special time with a special friend. Aww. To be having a pint. And then everything after that was absolutely fine. Once I'd got a drink inside me, I know exactly what we were going to do. And it was fine after that.
Yeah.
Did you have a nice time?
Yeah, it was a good time. As you know, as you and probably the listeners know, I prefer having something scripted to say because I don't dry up. So having to go out and speak to the people as we are doing right now, but not in a podcast form. I can't edit myself live, so whatever I say goes out. And so that was a bit nerve-wracking. So I sort of gave myself a little backup, a little comfort blanket with writing down some facts and things, so I had something to hook myself into. And I did try a little bit of audience interaction, and it didn't quite work as well as I thought. It makes me cringe. I think about it sometimes, and it makes me go, oh, because it didn't quite work. But, you know, aside from that, I think we got away with it. And also, they were watching the game on a TV screen outside in the garden, and their TV was a little bit too far away from their router, which was streaming it from. So in the end, they were streaming it from my mobile phone using my 5G internet. And, you know, mobile phones, they're not as reliable as routers. Occasionally, the signal broke up and we were getting quite panicky because, you know, there were going to be 200 excited Irish people, rugby fans watching, and seeing that circle buffer sign was kind of nerve-wracking. The Irish, they weren't happy about, like, I think it went off for about 0.3 of a second and they went nuts. So, yeah, we were just looking at it over just in case it went again. But, yeah, it was a good day, though. Good day out. Good, lots of Guinness. Free Guinness, even better.
Would you do it again if asked?
I think so. If I was asked again, I don't know if I would be asked again, you know.
Do you want to do it again?
I wouldn't say no. I would never say no to work.
Saturday the 6th of May, they've asked us to come back and do it again.
It's the coronation of King Charles III. That's the day.
Excellent.
Is that what we're there for? Are we going to be hosting the coronation?
I'm going to swear you in. Actually, you could marry people on the day, because aren't you a vicar or something?
I am, yeah. I've been ordained, yeah. I can...
Let's do that on the day. Let's say this is a service we can offer.
It is a service we can offer. I've got a certificate and everything.
Let's have a mock wedding on the day. Let's have like a sham wedding. Yeah. Oh, no, he's getting sworn in, isn't he?
He's getting sworn in. Yeah, he's getting sworn in. But what we could do is, like, if we were marrying someone, we could get their photographs from Facebook and then just print them on a mug, you know, like they do with the royal family. Get them on a mug, commemorative souvenir, off on our Kickstarter campaign. Yeah, we've got a whole business going on.
Techno robots. Gadget. News. From a show with the pressure and Frosty.
On this month's gadget news, we have been talking about birds quite a lot, and I found a gadget which I'd love to get. It's called the Bird Buddy, and it's a smart bird feeder. So it's like a traditional bird feeder, but it's got smart things to it. It's got a camera built into it, and it's not just a camera that live streams activity, you get a notification, but it can also identify the birds. So when it sits on the perch right in front of the camera, it can tell you what type of bird it is. Not only that, with this built-in microphone, it can detect what bird it is by the sound it makes. And it's solar-powered, made to last over many, many years. And it's something that I just think would be a brilliant thing. The only thing holding it back is the price. It is a bit pricey for a bird feeder. How much would you be prepared to pay for that, Dave?
£85.
It's looking like 250 quid at the minute.
Oh, yeah. What sort of birds are you getting? If I've got a flamingo coming, yeah, but for a sparrow and a wood pigeon,
yeah,
no. But there's some, no. But then they might attract some cooler birds. If they hear about this, maybe they'll fly in for it.
They might do, you know, they might do. You might get a tit, great tit, cold tit. You could get a shag, you never know.
If that's guaranteed, then I'm there.
Yeah, yeah.
The new Porsche that comes out next month has it will have like a telly built in so that you can watch streaming television.
That doesn't sound dangerous.
The new Cayenne SUV, which was launching next month, will allow you to watch TV only when the car's stationary, but the passenger can watch all the time. There's going to be telly there. So you can just, if you're stuck in a bit of traffic, just put something else on. Screen Hits UK are this British company that are providing the telly to Porsche, and it's launching soon.
Well, what a world we live in. People nowadays have forgotten how to wait. You go somewhere, like the dentist or the doctors, first thing you do, you sit down, you pull out your phone, and you look.
Yeah, if I'm queuing or waiting or just on the train, as long as I've got audio, that's fine, and I can look.
Apple have released a patent that is for foldable iPhones. Now, this is very much in the future, so we're not going to get it this year. We're not going to get it next year. But the key thing to this patent is it not only folds, but it detects if it's been dropped, and it'll feel the acceleration going down to the ground, and it will automatically close to protect its screen from smashing.
That's genius.
I can't wait to the time when they do get folding phones again, and you don't have to buy screen protectors, and you don't have to buy the bumpers, and you can just have your phone as your phone again.
It's like the bumper lane in the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Just looks so silly and childish, doesn't it? But you know, if you want to get a strike, that's the way to go.
We'll get you good. We'll get you good. Who gets your goat?
Well, this week on What Gets Your Goat, it's something that sort of bothered me since I can remember, really, and it is to do with washing the dishes. Don't mind washing the dishes, although I do it a bit less often now since I've got a dishwasher. But what I don't get, I just don't get it, is, you know, sometimes people put these, like, buckets in their sinks, like a tub inside the sink.
What? Yeah, we've got one. Washing up bowl.
What's that all about? Why are you using a bucket? You've got the sink. The sink is a built-in bucket with a plug that you can fill up. Why have you got a bucket inside a container already that gets all mucky and disgusting, and it's completely pointless, and then it just looks crap in your sink in your kitchen?
But you've got a bath, and yet you have a shower in it. Why don't you just have a bath every day?
Oh, that's a good idea. I love a bath every day. That logic doesn't make sense.
It's like less. You put a washing up bowl in the space of your big sink, you're using less water.
Yeah, but
you don't need all that space. You don't need big bath of a sink to wash up your crappy straw.
Yeah.
You can use just a small bucket, as you call it.
What do you call it?
I don't know. That it's just a sink smallizer.
Most of the time, though, they fit perfectly within the sink. You're not like, it's not like
washing up bowl. It's called the washing up bowl.
A tub. Yeah, but you're not saving much. It basically fits in. It's not enough. They fit in the sink as it is. You're not saving anything. At work, they've got one. And this one has got a plug inside it. And that plug is never plugged in. So they've got a sink with no plug in. Then they've got a bucket with a plug hole with no plug in, and they just use that, and it's like, what the hell is going on in the world?
Well, you do work with children, so what do you expect?
But you're one of them.
The plug's in on ours. Okay. Always. Okay. It's one of those ones that's permanently plugged in. There isn't an option to remove any bit of it. You have to tip it out, and that's old school.
And that's the thing, tipping it out as
standard
well.
Standard bucket. Gross. Which could be used for other things. If I needed to put other things in my bucket, then I've got a bucket. If you didn't have one, you can't move your sink around, can you? When they say everything and the kitchen sink, that's like a joke about taking too much.
Yeah.
That's you travelling not light everywhere you go, clinking along, dragging along stuff like your sink. Oh, I thought I'd bring an extra one just in case.
Look, I've got buckets for real stuff, not for sink stuff. I use buckets for, you know, proper grown-up stuff. And also pouring it out in the sink, that sloppy thing, all pouring it out. It's just gross, man. I'm surprised. I'm disappointed in you.
What about washing up gloves?
Ridiculous. Absolutely pointless. Absolutely pointless. Oh, look
at me.
What
about gardening gloves?
They're important. All right. Yeah.
What about housework gloves?
Absolutely unnecessary.
What about DIY gloves?
Important. Safety first.
Painting?
No.
Yes.
I'd wear...
You should have some gloves for that.
Because
your hand is touching the brush. So if you're not getting paint on it, it's flicking around and stuff. And the paint is made of... It's got glue in it and it dries you out. So yeah. I think gloves for painting.
Depends on how bad a painter you are, really. And if you're going to paint your hands, then yeah.
I think good. Because if you show up with your gloves, people think, oh, he's serious. If you like come without gloves, they're like, what else has he forgot? Oh, guess what?
Julie?
He hasn't got a brush either. Oh, I knew it.
No.
You not to get the cheap one. I told you.
No. That's actually an amateur thing. Oh, I've got my gloves. Look at me. I'm doing housework. I've got my apron on to do housework. That's just a show off sort of thing, you know. That's just like, look at me.
Getting into the outfit, getting into the character.
Yeah.
You should consider these things.
No.
I thought you would.
Don't need to, because I'm a natural. I just sort of slip in, slip out. I'm just so easily...
Excuse me, is there a script? Can I... Oh, I just walk around and hoover. Oh, okay. And
easy.
Then, what, I mop after or before? Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I didn't need to ask, did I? I could have thought, but I'm asking questions now, so... Oh, okay. and I'll take my shoes off, or I'll put the... Okay, yeah, good idea. That's a good idea, actually, because they're muddy shoes. I wouldn't want to wear them, would I? Okay. No, if I think of anything else... Oh, one more thing. Do I get paid before or after?
Well, you haven't done it yet, and I haven't paid you, so do one.
You talk about face slouching, something that you probably pioneer and are the best example of it. If we could, you know, Wikipedia that, it would be your shiny face. What about social slouching?
Ooh, cool, cool. Do you want to elaborate on that?
This kid in the hotel the other day, just dorking around with his dad. It's about 7-ish on a Friday, so they went off. They were faffing around near me, and then they went off in the direction of the pub.
Yeah.
And then they came back, and he was holding two lemonades and clearly didn't hang out in the pub for very long. They barely went in there. They probably just put their head in the drawer and came back out. He's walking around in flip-flops. It's a Friday night. He should know. He looked like, I think he was mid-teens, like 14 sort of age. But then they were faffing with the coffee machine for ages. And then he was drinking some of the beverage, which if it's coffee...
Yeah.
Like, you must be quite a bit older than 15 to be drinking a coffee.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then that's... I just walking around on a Friday carrying two lemonades in your flip-flops when you could be sort of... You're in a cool hotel. You could be trying to fit in and getting away with hanging out in the pub and maybe getting a bit of your own shandy. And instead, this social slouch...
Yeah.
Just looking like out of place and bringing the whole value of everything down. I felt like cheapened for being in the same room playing records to this chump.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose you're playing records on a Friday night. You want people to be out there having a laugh, just
looking cool, looking making cool. an effort. Yeah. You're in a fun hotel. Wear your nice t-shirt and your cool trainers because you're on holiday.
What is it? Laziness?
Maybe the comfortableness. It's like, oh, I'm in a hotel all the time. I'll do what I don't need to dress for. Yeah, but mate, you could be in the pub right
fun,
now.
Fun, isn't it?
Your old man, like, you could... Yeah, well, I just... No, but I'm comfortable in my flip-flops and my two lemonades. Well, that could be a pint.
Yeah, and I suppose as a DJ, you're sort of... You view the crowd and you've got to play to the audience and see what the vibe is.
I don't want to play Baby Shark.
Yeah.
But people in general who don't sort of make enough effort to fit in, wherever that might be, whether they're doing something rude or disgusting in public, just the slouchers in life that you're like, come on.
I don't think we're slouchers, though. We're far from it. We're not social slouchers. What's the opposite of a social sloucher? Way.
An aristocrat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Someone that just tries to... Maybe the chameleons of the world that just fit in with all circles. There's probably certain ways that you can dress that you could fit into most places.
Yeah.
And those are the sort of ones that sweet talk everyone while I'm just stood at the side like, oh, well, didn't I say that? I was there as well, but I didn't think it was important. And now you lot have made good mates and I'm still sat here by myself.
Yeah, I think I'm a chameleon or a tourist. I think I'm a tourist more than a chameleon. I dip in... Not enough to know enough, but enough to just get by for that one night. But I've got no depth of knowledge on anything that I talk about.
When they see you the next day, it's like, oh, God, no, don't sit next to them.
Email the show. It's the way to go.
PressureandFrosty@gmail.com.
Well, thanks again, everyone, for listening to our April special of the show with the Pressure and Frosty. We'll be back in May for... more nonsense and consumer opinion.
Share yours with us right now. You know the means of communication, email, Gmail, Twitter, or just text us directly and we'll include you in next month's edition.
Take care, everyone. I mean that. And we'll see you in a month.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
But there's no need to cry.
My favorite.
We'll be back again sometime. The show with the Pressure and Frosty.
Well done. Back to the lagers now for you, eh?
Yeah, I've got the taste.
We're going for dinner. We're going to Nobu, which is Japanese, so maybe I'll have chopsticks.